Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Live from Cincinnati, where the Browns and the Bengals will do battle to kick off week number 9 of the National Football League season at Paul Brown Stadium. Nathan Zagura back in Berea at the headquarters of the Cleveland Browns is my man, Matt Wilhelm. And today our Ohio Business and Machine hot topics are for game day. It's call your shot for today's game, obviously. And what's the matchup the Browns have to win tonight if they're going to find a way to win? And also, just be honest, what are your expectations for Johnny Manziel tonight? Do you think you can get a performance like you got against Tennessee? What are you expecting to see? What do you want to see? What could Johnny Manziel show you tonight in a win or a loss that gives you the confidence that Johnny Manziel over the second half of this season could become the guy going into 2016. We're going to have Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com to preview tonight's game at 1:30. Bob Holtzman will be on the field at Paul Brown Stadium at 2 o'clock previewing tonight's game. He'll be with us as well. And we have a special Thursday game day edition of the forecast. We're going to go through the offenses and defenses, the matchup previews as well, so a lot to get to. But let me start off by just saying hello to my good friend Mateo. Matt, how are you, bro?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Doing very, very nicely. We had a nice night down that here in Cincinnati last night, and people everywhere are decked out in Bengals gear, Browns gear. The city certainly is buzzing, and I think it's kind of a nice midweek treat for Cincinnati, and I remember that being the case last year.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of interesting that, Thursday night, same city, same matchup, pretty much the same time of year as it was just a year ago. All right, so we have got on again our Ohio Business Machine hot topics for the day. Your expectations for Johnny Manziel. What's the matchup the Browns have to win tonight? And what can Johnny show you? And Matt, I'll start with you. What does Johnny have to show you tonight? Or what are you looking to see tonight that says to you, look, all right, Johnny Manziel can be our guy going forward?
You know, my expectations for Johnny are not for him to look like a veteran franchise quarterback. I think those are extremely high expectations. I think those are just, at this point right now, very much too lofty, especially for a guy who's come off the bench, started one football game early in the season, but been kind of sitting idle for the past 5 or 6 weeks with Josh McCown taking over the helm and coming back from that concussion. But what I want, if you're a Browns fan, if you're a football fan and you watch other teams, I would expect to see Johnny manage a football game as a starting quarterback. I'd say a middle-of-the-road starting quarterback in the National Football League. I mean, you know, not a lot of delay of games, getting guys in and out of the huddle. And we did see that in Tennessee and why, you know, so many people were optimistic about his performance and wanted to see him continue to be the starter moving forward. But I want to see him make the throws. I do not – the thing that's – again, play like a middle-of-the-road quarterback in the National Football League. Some of the things that I don't want to see out of Johnny is I don't want to see frantic. I don't want to see the happy feet that you talk about. I don't want to see the stagnant feet, which you mentioned yesterday as we talked about the things that you don't like about Johnny's game. I don't want to see him running around like a chicken with his head cut off, deviating out of the pocket, because we all know that's not the way you win football games in the National Football League. It's being in the pocket. And lastly, And I hope and I know it's a short week, and as much as Johnny Manziel took the reps last week going into the Arizona Cardinals football game, there's going to be a lot of a carryover from a game planning standpoint. I just hope that John DeFilippo doesn't simplify so much that it puts handcuffs on Johnny Manziel, forcing him to make quick throws, underneath throws, because we all know that Johnny is a playmaker, that he's risky, that he loves, as we again saw earlier in the season, can take the shots down the field as good as anybody, but let it rip, because I feel at 2-6, with you're up against the juggernaut so far this season, that is the Cincinnati Bengals, to let him rip. Let's go truly see if this guy can win us a football game, and how great would it be to put the only blemish on the Bengals record happen at their place again versus a 2-6 football team.
I agree with you. I think that it would be a great thing to put that blemish on him. What I'm looking for to see from Johnny Manziel tonight, what I want to see, what I need to see from Johnny Manziel tonight, is a guy who looks like what Mike Pettin said in that interview with Albert Breer. A guy who is calm. The game has slowed down. It's not like he's playing against 14 defenders. He's playing against 11. He knows where to go with the football from reading the defense. He doesn't look frenetic. He doesn't look lost and chaotic like he did a year ago against his defense. That's one thing about this that's very exciting for me. You're going to get a very good idea of the progress Johnny Manziel has made in the NFL, because his one full game last year was against Cincinnati, and it was awful. And so you're going to be able to see what steps he has made, because one thing I did actually in advance of this game yesterday was watch that game from a year ago. So it was very fresh in my mind. He looked lost. The ball was never coming out on time. It was basically like he was trying to read and react. And in the NFL, you need to understand pre-snap, immediately post-snap, and then throw with anticipation. You can't just see it, throw it off balance, etc., chaotic. He made poor decisions. He looked ill-prepared. He didn't look ready to go. I want to see something different. I want to see a guy who's calm in the pocket. And, I mean, I think it tells a lot. This is a small comment that has gone, you know, kind of unnoticed in some ways, because it certainly, well, at least hasn't been talked about by anybody who's called our show. But Mike Penn said, you know, he can call the plays in the huddle now. I mean, think about that for a second. Think about that for a second. That means that last year he couldn't necessarily call the plays in the huddle, which is something that we heard. He didn't understand what the plays even were in terms of, all right, I'm calling this play, so I need immediately to be thinking, okay, if it is a cover three, I'm working the right side of the field. If it's man, then we're working the left side of the field, etc. I'm going to attack this defense. If it's a cover one, down the seams, whatever it may be. He didn't have that understanding last year, and it's crazy. I just want to come out and say that. I believe that that's crazy.
It is.
But that was the case, and I want to see that progress. And it is a little thing, but could you imagine, Matt, being in the huddle with a quarterback who didn't even know the play calls, and how could that possibly inspire confidence in you? But I think it also showed up in the way that he played the game. Frenetic, frantic, looked chaotic, didn't understand what was going on. So I want to see that the game truly has slowed down for Johnny Manziel against Cincinnati, a team that is certainly better than the Tennessee Titans he saw earlier in the year.
Right, and you know who I think is going to be a huge catalyst in Johnny's performance tonight? A, it's going to be Johnny and his preparation as we continue to talk about. But I feel like, and I mentioned it yesterday, you know, Josh McCown was signed here, A, to come in and kind of be a stopgap at the quarterback position, replacing Brian Hoyer, and essentially built in to be the starter, but for only so long. And I feel like, but the other side of the coin was, and we heard it out of Josh McCown's comments when he signed here in Cleveland, if I'm here and I'm going to be the mentor, I'm going to give Johnny everything I can, I'm going to earn my money, you know, being the mentor, being the leader, being, you know, one play away if Johnny happened to win that competition. We all know he didn't. But that's the role that I feel like Josh McCown is going to play tonight. And from you and I being in the building and talking to Josh McCown, he is down to earth. He is humble. He is a good person. And he's a leader. And I really feel like he is he's really taken to the city. He is the embodiment of playing like a Brown. And I think if he can rub off on Johnny Manziel tonight and take Johnny under his wing, you know, even at this point in the day, you know, just with, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours and dive in and watch that extra film and have that those extra little conversations. Or when Johnny comes off, he doesn't go right to Flip. He goes right to Josh. Josh, what are you seeing? They're sitting down. They're looking at the Surface tablet. You know, you see here, you should have threw this, or this is the read, or this. Because so much of this game for Johnny is going to be, it's not going to be new play, new play, new play, new play, new play, because the game plan hasn't changed all that much from week to week. It's going to be a lot of the same with little small nuances. And I think Josh McCown and his ability to get into Johnny's head and have him grasp what they're trying to accomplish throughout the football game against the Cincinnati Bengals is going to be vital for Johnny's success tonight.
You're absolutely right. It's his command of the game plan, his ability to process quickly and decisively with the football. And I think it's going to be imperative that you get the running game going, and it's imperative that you don't get in an early hole. You can't do what you did in St. Louis and get down 10-0 right out of the gate. That would put him in a bad spot. And frankly, when you look at it, I know that he's a guy who's elusive. I know he's got pocket mobility. He can get out of bad situations. But when you really are honest about the performance of our offensive line this year, they've given up 22 sacks and 44 quarterback hits in the last six games. That Johnny could get killed. You could be down to Austin Davis if Cincinnati gets in a position where Carlos, where Dunlop and where Johnson and where Atkins can pin their ears back and come after the quarterback. It could become a very, very long day for Johnny Manziel.
No doubt. And I think that's the one thing as we look at Johnny Manziel, and I hope to see the growth in him, is because I believe he's going to be challenged tonight. It's going to be that 4-3 defense. And if you recall talking to Joe Thomas about playing a 4-3 defense, which they did in St. Louis, which they don't see all that much because of the number of 3-4 defenses throughout the National Football League, is Johnny's ability to recognize different blitzes, to recognize different tendencies that he picks up through his film study and throughout practice of the Cincinnati defense. Because if it gets to the point where their front four is winning versus our, you know, preseason number five top offensive line in the NFL. If they're winning sure. consistently, you might as well, again, I hate to say it, but you might as well put Johnny, you know, in a casket. The game's over. It's dead. Because for him to have to face that type of pressure from four men and then also them their ability to drop seven and confuse essentially a rookie-ish type of quarterback in Johnny Manziel and deviate different types of coverages, showing one thing, playing another, that whole chess game that we consistently talk about, you know, he's a dead man walking because they're going to pin their ears back and drop seven. You're going to force Johnny to throw into tight windows or tooth-tight coverage. And as we mentioned, he's going to be without Andrew Hawkins, going to be without Brian Hartline as well. And what role Dwayne Bowe will play tonight is a big question as well. So, If we can protect him, I think Johnny has taken the steps to throw from the pocket and decipher different coverages. His guys have to be on the same page and win for him in those situations.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. It will be a must, and that will be a critical component of tonight's game if they have an opportunity to go ahead and pull off the victory, the surprise victory. Let's be honest, that's what it is. 11-point favorite, that's what Cincinnati is at home. The biggest time they've been a favorite in almost 10 years. They have not been 11-point favorites and covered that since 1998. They will look to break that streak tonight, but the Browns hoping to play the role of spoiler on what has been a perfect season for the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals, who step into tonight's game at 7-0. The Browns, of course, at 2-6. When you talk about game planning, you played for the San Diego Chargers for the bulk of your career. So every year, twice against the Raiders, twice against the Chiefs, twice against the Broncos. When you had a team that was predominantly the same, you know, from one year to the next, let's say you're going against Denver, and it was the same coach, same offensive coordinator, same quarterback, et cetera, how much different was your game planning and your preparation and the tape from one year to the next? Because that's what I'm curious. Because Johnny prepared for this defense, same defensive coordinator. Sure, Michael Johnson's here, who wasn't a year ago. A.J. Hawk is. But scheme-wise, with that coordinator, it should be the same. And much of the personnel is the same from a year ago.
It absolutely is. I mean, you're very comfortable with who they are from a personnel standpoint. Cincinnati predominantly, there's not much turnover for them in general as a franchise. So you know the players that you're playing against. And as you mentioned, having the same coaches, the scheme is the same. All you want to get a handle on is the evolution that every team tries to make. You know, we get stuck playing a lot of this coverage a lot in this situation. It's that, and that becomes your tendency because every team diagnoses their tendencies throughout the offseason and then, of course, during the bye week so they can change that up. Well, how have we addressed what Cincinnati has done to change it up? Because, again, they're 7-0 right now. What have they done on offense to change things up? Is it Andy Dalton? Is it a certain scheme? Is their ability in play-action pass to force the ball down the field defensively? Is it the fact that their guys up front are winning in one-on-one situations, allowing them to drop seven, drop six, and only have to bring five or four predominantly that has really amounted to their success defensively? That's what we need to put our finger on, and that happens in a short week even still. But you know these guys very well, and I think Johnny, as I mentioned earlier in the week, I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time looking at the Cincinnati game last year that was, you know, an abomination the way you did and see, you know, what did I do wrong? Okay, you've watched it. You've overcome it. You've advanced who you are in your career to get to this point with an opportunity to start over Austin Davis in replace of Josh McCown. But I would go back and watch that Tennessee Titans film and look and build that confidence. Right now is not a time where we want Johnny Manziel to be, you know, weak physically, mentally, or emotionally. We need him to be built up. So go back. If I were him, I'd go back and watch Alabama, Texas A&M, and get, you know, get stoked on the type of player I was and try to relive that moment because this is a very big moment for him and his career. I think it's at a crossroad for this entire franchise, and in some cases, a crossroads for him in his career with the Cleveland Browns. Can he get it done? It's going to be the biggest stage against an undefeated team, and if he can, I mean, that's a huge step in the right direction and a likelihood of outpouring of individuals that are Cleveland Browns fans, the dog pound, you and I, thinking that starting him the rest of the season is probably what's best for this franchise.
I just want to see positivity, positive steps. I really think if you can get – some positive steps out of Johnny Manziel where you get a glimmer that's saying, okay, this guy shows that he can make plays, even if it's a couple splash plays. But as long as he looks calmer and looks like somebody who can play in the National Football League, I'll be encouraged. And then we've got something really to watch. Win or lose tonight, you've really got something to watch in the second half of the season. Can Johnny Manziel make the strides that the three other guys in his class who got the opportunity to play, who had their own ups and downs, and he will have ups and downs. You know, just hope that he has as many ups as he has downs.
We hope he has an up tonight.
Derek Carr. Right. The Derek Carr, Blake Bortles, Teddy Bridgewater had as rookies, and now they're so far advanced in their second year. Johnny Manziel's rookie season was a waste. Tonight is the second opportunity. He's already 1-for-1 against Tennessee. Tonight is the second opportunity for him to show his growth, his maturity on and off the field as a quarterback, as a leader of this team, and as somebody that hopefully shows you, hey, I can play in this league. Everybody's skeptical. I know our listeners are skeptical. People say I'm a homer because I'm interested to see what he's going to do. It's okay. It's fine.
Self-proclaimed homer. But,
yes. Thank you. Thank you. But, you know, it really is. That is really, if the season is going the way that it looks like the season is going at 2-6, that's the one thing to watch as a Browns fan. And that's the one thing to pay attention to. And by the way, even if he plays well and the team loses and you have an early pick, I don't think that precludes you from taking another quarterback.
No, not absolutely. I mean,
at all.
Was Ray Farmer's message all offseason about adding competition? And I think for any franchise, the second you get comfortable and you think you've got it all figured out is the moment that you don't. And I think that's the mentality that you have to have and continue to push the envelope. And for Johnny Manziel, at no point, just based on his personality, do you want Johnny to be comfortable with where he's at, because his track record is to fall off the wagon.
Right. Right. Yes, it is. All right. A lot to talk about here. We do want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven by Liberty Ford here. All along ESPN 850 WKNR on the Browns mobile app, clevelandbrowns.com, wherever you're catching us on the ESPN Cleveland live stream, wherever you're catching us, we appreciate it. Call us up now. Let's get talking. We've got Jeff Hobson coming at 1:30 to preview the game. Bob Holtzman at 2. We'll go through these teams, give you guys to keep your eye on tonight, but really all eyes are going to be focused on John Football. Johnny Manziel, as the Browns and the Bengals hook up tonight to kick off Week 9 on Thursday Night Football on the NFL Network. We'll be back right after this.